V+7. Ford Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. After a sudden flash, they seemed to feel as well as see. Dan and Tara found themselves sitting on Tara's bed. Home, she sighed, sounding more joyous than relieved as she threw her head back onto what struck Dan as far too many pillows. The next thing either of them heard was Rooster barking on the other side of the door. We should wait, Dan said. He might get a fright if we open up. Emma or Clark are bound to hear him and be here any second. While he waited, Dan lifted his phone from his pocket. The battery wasn't even half depleted, which confirmed the messenger's answer about them only having been gone for less than a day, even before he saw the date and time. He then loaded up the ACN app to take a look at the news headlines for an insight into what had happened in their absence and how everything was being reported, but the door swung suddenly open before he learned anything. Rather than Emma, they saw Clark. His expression transformed in two distinct steps, first from fear to surprise, and then from surprise to relieved amusement. Planning on coming out of there anytime soon? He laughed from the doorway. Emma was at his side within a few seconds, and then inside the room within a few more. I don't know what you did, but it worked, she told them, grabbing both at once for a reunion group hug. Clark was crouched in the doorway, comforting Rooster, even though his fear had this time faded as soon as he saw who was behind the door. The old dog's knack for sensing alien interventions was as strong as ever, but he seemed to be less distressed each time, and now apparently reacted primarily to alert his human friends rather than to express his own discomfort. So what's the story? Clark asked. Are the messengers gone? Dan explained the situation as succinctly as he could, starting with the last part about the messengers currently hovering safely out of sight above the cornfield and having agreed to send Dan and Tara home until they felt ready to return to the craft for a more public arrival. That is perfect, Emma said. In fact, that is so perfect I couldn't have picked anything any better. I had an idea, and this makes it better. This makes it so much more impactful. What is it? Tara asked. Clark interjected. Forget that. What happened on New Kerguelen? The squadron just up and left all of a sudden, and no one knows why. Jack is in custody in Havana, and none of the big guns have made any public comments except to say they're eagerly anticipating your return. Godfrey and Ding issued a joint statement saying that, because I think they've realized that no one can come out of this with any credibility unless they eat humble pie together. That way they don't lose face relative to each other, you know? Yesterday is going to live forever in everyone's memory, but people don't want chaos and division like that ever again. People in China, people here, people in Vanuatu, and wherever the hell else you want to mention. You can check out the statement and everything, but first you need to tell us. What happened out there?
It was amazing, Tara gushed. At the end, we saw all of the little aliens at school, and we had to talk to the Planetary Council to convince them that the messengers were trustworthy and that humanity can help them. Their problem is this big thing they call the Great Shelter. It keeps them safe from the environment outside, which has been getting worse, and the shelter is falling apart, but they don't know how to fix it. They were totally dependent on the elders because all of their decisions have been, and oh my god, the elders were machines, she shrieked, interrupting herself. Supercomputers built forever ago by their ancient ancestors. What was it you said, Dan? Technocratic? It was crazy.
The overwhelmed expressions on Clark and Emma's faces reflected this craziness, which was even harder to handle when it all came at once, rather than one revelation at a time, as it had for the visiting duo.
So you had a fun trip, Emma laughed, unsure where to start. I'll tell you what, though, Tara. Why don't you fill Clark in on that right now, and I'll talk to Dan about this idea I have. Because we don't have all that much time, and if this is going to have any chance of working, I have to start putting it together pretty much right now.
Clark sat down on Tara's bed, indicating his agreement with the plan. Their interaction immediately before her departure had changed the way he saw things between them, and the look in Tara's eyes suggested that he wasn't alone in that regard.
So the main thing to know about the messengers and all the other groups, which I'll get to, is that they were totally dependent on the elders for everything, Tara said.
Dan listened to the first part of her excited rundown as he very briefly scrolled through news headlines on his phone. He took delight in seeing an image of Jack Neal in handcuffs. No one had ever deserved it more.
Like, think about if someone's phone stops working, Tara went on.
Dan headed out of the bedroom, but still heard her talking as he walked.
Suddenly, they can't use the maps and the calculator and everything else they've always relied on, right? But even if just their contact list froze, they wouldn't be able to call anyone because they don't actually know anyone's number. It was like that. They can't fix their roof because no one has had to do it for hundreds of generations, and the knowledge was only inside the computers that don't work anymore.
They can't fix a roof? Clark asked, chortling in disbelief. I can fix a damn roof.
Dan and Emma both shook their heads and smiled as they reached the kitchen and closed the door to both drown out the incoming sound and give themselves some privacy. Before I get into this, do we have anything to worry about? Emma asked.
Like what?
She shrugged. Disagreements on New Kerguelen, grievance from the squadron, anything like that?
Not at all, Dan said. They don't hold grudges in the same way we do, and the squadron were basically trying to do a good thing in a really bad way. They wanted help to save their planet just like the messengers did, but they distrusted them so much that they distrusted us by extension. It's all water under the bridge, though.
And speaking of water under the bridge, Emma replied. You heard what Clark said about the joint statement, right? Ding and Godfrey know that the split just won't stand anymore, not after the chaos of yesterday. We know Godfrey is a political survivor that would outlast the cockroaches if a nuke ever went off, but Ding has the same instincts. They're willing to work together to protect themselves, and things are in motion behind the scenes for a single agency with two offices, East and West. It's going to be a UN body specifically created to handle future contact-related issues, and they're going to ask you to be the figurehead.
Dan's eyes widened.
Godfrey and Ding both know they can't credibly lead anything without you, not now, and they know there's no public appetite for any more competition over who's in charge. If you say yes, you won't have to live in New York or anything like that. You'll just have to show up every now and then. Your role is mainly for show, which doesn't mean it's not important. They basically need you for this to work because the public won't buy into it if you're not there, and neither will the messengers. They just handpicked you for contact, again, and everyone knows that.
I'm glad of that because I'm not going to say no, Dan said, surprised by the news of this incredible invitation and also slightly surprised that he didn't feel overawed by it. We're way past that. I can't go back to normal after what's happened in the past week, so if they want me to help out by giving it credibility or stability or anything else, then I'll do what I can. I'll say no if you think I should, with everything we have ahead of us, but I think this is like what you said when I was leaving. Doing this and eliminating the stupid tension we've all had to deal with recently could be the best way of making sure we bring this kid into a world worth living in. There's no parapet big enough to cover me now anyway, so I think it's pretty clear cut. If you think this is a good idea, I'm all the way in.
I remember when I used to have to twist your arm to get you to do a magazine interview in a hair salon, she replied. And now you're volunteering to be Earth's official point of interplanetary contact.
Dan shook his head several times. I hated that damn salon. But about this plan you have? Emma stood up and opened the kitchen door.
Tara, she called. You used to want to be an events planner. How about you start rounding up everyone on this guest list I'm working on? So far, we've got Slater, Godfrey, Cole, Ding, and Timo. Timo I can do, Tara yelled in reply, drawing laughter all around.
You're fired, Dan chuckled. Tara emerged at her bedroom door, feigning sadness.
But I'm still planning your wedding, right? Or are we shotgunning that now?
Ha ha, Emma said, returning to the kitchen table.
We've been engaged since the day that damn comet passed by, and the date has been set for months, smartass. But you are gonna need to figure something out for my dress. The design and measurements you were working with aren't exactly going to work in another 3 months.
It's going to be some year, Dan mused. 3 months until the wedding, 5 more after that until the baby. Emma kissed him before she sat back down.
Sure is, she said. There's just this one tiny little other thing to get out of the way first.